The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with the lovely Lindsay Jorkland, as is, there's a J in her name next to a B, which is, if you're not Swedish, should be illegal, frankly. Anyway, she is our customer happiness manager, and we have lots of happy customers, so we can only assume and infer she's doing a phenomenal job. Not only that, she came up with a phenomenal idea for today's podcast. Internally with us, anytime we get BA questions, because a lot of people are like, how do I get out of, you know, obviously we love helping people get out of cleaning. We've got lots of podcasts for that. If you want, whoever the editor is can maybe link to some get out of cleaning shows in the show notes. But today we're going to talk about how to get out of the office, right? So once you get out of cleaning, the next step is often how we get out of the office. And typically Lindsay answers those questions either on podcasts or for our clients. She's like, we never hear you say that. So she wanted to interview me, and that sounded like easier work for me than usual. So I immediately agreed. That's all I have to say about that. Lindsay, take over.
All right. So I made this, had this idea because we get, like you said, a lot of specific questions, and I know what I would answer to these questions. So I want to hear what you would say. So Mike, first question I get asked all the time is I hear a lot of overwhelm. Someone will come to me and be like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. I know a VA, but I need this done. I need that done. I need like my life redone. How would you guide them on what to have a VA do first and how to assign that?
That's a really good question. So sadly, as with most tactical questions, it's really a mindset issue that needs to be solved first, and then we can get to the tactical. So oftentimes we have, or I shouldn't even say a mindset, but a belief issue. So we've got wonky beliefs that set us up for failure. So a weird belief is, if I just had the right operations manager, then everything would be great. If I just had the perfect VA, then everything would be great. And we just did a podcast with Jason Johnson. We definitely need to link to that one, where he talks about how two of his key people either quit or had to leave or got COVID or whatever for a substantial amount of time, and how it had a pretty minimal impact on his life. He continued running his company from vacation, going from working 5 hours a week to 10 or 15 hours a week. So that'd be a good resource. So the trick is, we got to, sometimes the wrong answer is baked in the question, right? So I have a VA that I just want to do everything and take over everything, and I'm overwhelmed with the whole process. How do I go forward? My best answer would be start with a better question, because with that question, there is no real good answer that doesn't end in overwhelm and failure. So one of the things that we have our clients do is track your time. So you're going to want to put out what you want to do and what you should do. And then you just, well, I don't want to get too into it, but there's in, on, and out. So out, you can do whatever you want, as long as you're not doing any work during that time. If you take a call or do an email or answer a text, that whole half hour block is now in or on, if I guess you're working on. But if you're reacting, it's probably not on. Your business is probably in. So out, do what you want to do. The in, believe it or not, as long as there's not too much of it, do what you want to do, right? But if you, and then the on is where you really want to focus your time, because that's where you make your money. But embedded in your question is, I'm working in my business way too much. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're going to track your time, specifically in this instance, the in your business, and write down all the crap that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then once you have a list of stuff that you don't want to do anymore, you're not great at doing, then we got to break it down typically into multiple people. So that's the trick. Like Lindsay's a perfect example. My wife and I started this company together, and she basically did everything I couldn't or wouldn't do, right? So she had a lot of job descriptions. And when we transitioned her out, she was probably only working 25 hours a week. So it's not like she's working 70 hours a week or anything, but we chose to hire like four people to replace her. Yeah. Not because she was working 100 hours a week. It's like, well, four divided by 100, not that, right? She just was doing, because she's an owner, she's doing skill sets that most non-owners don't have. So she might be editing a podcast, which is a perfect skill set that she's not great at, and doing a ClickFunnels funnel, which is another skill set, and dealing with an employee issue, which is another skill set. And then she was just doing a lot of things that most people don't have. So first and foremost, you got to get clear on what it is you don't want to do. Second, you want to kind of gather them into groups that make sense. Someone that can sell, that's not an owner, generally is not a good accountant. A good accountant generally is not a good leader. A good leader generally isn't good at detail-oriented tasks like filling out paperwork. So I would stop with who's the one person magic bullet I can get that'll solve everything, because they don't exist. And if they do, you're going to have to pay them way too much, and or they're going to quit or get sick at some point, and then where are you? So you kind of want to really get clear on the problem. What is it I don't want to do anymore? Then you can get a clear picture of who, plural, do I need to do to solve this problem, as opposed to who's singular. Who's that magic unicorn? If I could just find, you can't, they're not there. Lindsay's as good of a unicorn as you're going to find. And when she started, I said, hey, within 6 months, either I'm going to hire someone above you because we are growing, or you're going to hire someone below you. This is not a one woman job for much longer. And Lindsay kept rising to the task, and she kept hiring people. She did better. She's like, how about I hire the people below you and you just worry about what you want to worry? I said, you got yourself a deal, lady. All right. That said, I would love to hear your thoughts on what your pat answer is.
Yeah. So, kind of to backtrack. So my pat answer, is similar to yours. So I have everyone make a list when they come to me. When, like you said, it's a mindset thing. So there's usually a lot of stuff going on in their head. And I feel like when people, and it works for me, when I make a clear list of all the stuff I need to do, either I realize, whoa, that's a lot of stuff and I feel a little better now, or B, it's like, oh, it really wasn't that bad. There's clearly another job like one person could do right here. So I feel like that gives a lot of clarity right away. And sometimes people have problems making lists, I've noticed. Like, they're either really good at it or they're like, I don't know where to start. And I said, well, there's something you don't want to do. Like, you just hate doing it. Like, you dread doing it. There's probably stuff you're okay with that should really be outsourced. Like, maybe you have an info at your cleaning company email inbox, and that could easily be outsourced. You know, you as an owner, you don't have to see every single tiny email that comes in. I mean, Mike, I remember that's one of the very first things you gave me was, here is your inbox. It's support@growmycleaningcompany.com. So, and then there's this stuff that, oh, that's actually a tangent. I'm going to come back to that because I just thought of another question for you. But that's kind of how I start it. Actually, I got two questions off of that, Mike. So I'm going to go hit you with another question.
And by the way, the best answers almost always have embedded question, new embedded questions in them. So you know you're onto something when your answers generate questions.
All right. So I got this flowing now. So here's where I run into a little gray area, if you will, when I'm helping our clients especially, is when is the right time in your company to slice up parts that a VA does, right? So you don't want to hire someone necessarily that can do all the things at once, and then you have an operations manager. How do you know when to hire more VAs, or do you start with two VAs at once doing video editing, and then someone's doing social media reach out? What would you answer to that?
So again, that one really does depend on the tasks that you're trying to outsource. So again, if it was sales and accounting, they're wildly different. If it's posting pictures on social media and editing videos, those are really similar. So it really depends on the skill set. So the reason we sliced up Natalie's job wasn't time. She's only working 20, 25 hours a week, but she had 17 different jobs that were 3 or 4 or 5 different skill sets. And she'll tell you as quickly as I would, she wasn't great at a lot of them. It was more like she's willing, right? So there was A, she didn't want to do it. B, she wasn't great at it. And it's like, well, then why are we doing it? So it really depends on the job. That said, I always would prefer more people doing one job than less. Same works with cleaners. Like, people are like, I've got 3 full-time cleaners. Like, okay, so that's 120 hours a week of cleaning. What happens when one works? Now you have 2 people working 60 hours a week? That's insane. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, yeah, but okay. What is the chance of someone getting COVID, getting sick, going on vacation, needing a day, not showing up, quitting, having a hangover, like going to a funeral, having a doctor's. I mean, you can go on and on. Like, that happens all the time. And right. For you to plan on, everything's fine as long as everything works. Or let's say we've got the same 120 people and we've got 10 or 120 hours, we've got 10 people. Now each person's working 12 and they probably want more hours. So when the next person doesn't show up, it's like, great. Now we've got 9 people working 11 hours as opposed to 10 people working, 12 or whatever the numbers work out to be. So when in doubt, hire more people to do it. Like with Lindsay, it's no problem. Periodically, I remember last time we went on vacation, it's all handled. Like, there's no stress. Maybe a little for Lindsay. I don't know what happens on her end, but for us, it's nothing. She's like, well, you got Apple and the team on it, right? She's like, yep. I'm like, have fun. That's just that. So short answer, it really depends on what the tasks are, but when in doubt, I'd rather have more people doing fewer things for a flat fee, right? So as opposed to, I need an operations manager for X amount of salary per year, all your eggs are in that one basket. If you're like, I got a VA that just does this little job and she makes $300 a month, and I got another VA, he just does this and he gets paid a buck a name, and this other VA does podcast editing and they get paid $30 a podcast or whatever, and I'm just making up the numbers, but so all that to say, the short answer to your question of how do you know when to break up versus put together, A, it depends on the talent, the skill set, and if they're complementary and you've got someone doing a $200 job and another $200 job a month and they're both very similar, yes, I would pay one person to do 400. But when in doubt, have more people doing it. Because if something goes wrong, you want to have someone else that can do it. And the more you have one person doing three or four things, the harder it is, right? If they only do one thing, it's like, okay, the podcast editor, that's all they do. They get sick. It's pretty easy to find another podcast editor. But if she does nine different things, I'm like, well, shit. The chance of me finding one person that can do those nine things in the week that she's sick or on vacation, virtually none. So we're just screwed. But if she only does the one thing, it's much easier to have the next guy or next gal step up.
Yeah, I would just expand on that too, is something that has worked good with my team of VAs. So you just mentioned Apple. She just celebrated her 2 year anniversary with us. So shout out to Apple. We actually have two more VAs, Kay and Diesel, or D as we call her. And I've actually kind of cross-trained them. Like, each person is specialized. Like, Apple is a kind of a mini Lindsay. She actually does my job better than I do.
Yeah, when Lindsay leaves, it's not, and we love Lindsay, so please don't hear you're not loved or wanted, but when she leaves, it's no problem. Like, Apple's fantastic.
So she's kind of cross-trained with me, is what I'm saying. So most of the things Apple does, if Apple is sick, I could do them. And there's certain things other VAs that could step up and fill her place too.
So
And
let me turn this around on you because I know what the owners are
ooh.
thinking. Yeah, so I'm so glad that we're wandering here because I think I know owners are thinking this. So owners are going to go, well, what if, Lindsay's not going to want to train Apple to do her job, because then why? And I'll be honest with you, Apple's Philippine, in the Philippines. Lindsay's in the formerly great state of New York, sorry, New York. So her, and also because of what she does and some responsibility, but just long story short, Lindsay gets paid more than Apple. So aren't you afraid, Lindsay? I'm going to go, well, wait a second. If Apple can do your job for less money, why the hell are you here? Right. Like, and if you are afraid of that, wouldn't you go, well, I'm not going to trade Apple all my secret stuff. Mike's going to fire me. Where's that fear for you?
Oh, that's such a good question. Whoa, I got this sprung on me. I
And
don't
hold on
even,
really quick. I want, because this
yeah.
is for the owners, not for you. The fact that
No.
Lindsay had never considered that is, this sounds so terrible. I'm like patting myself on the back really hard. I'm not trying to do that. Shows it's a really good core value. There's a high level of trust, right? I'm hoping what Lindsay is going, well, Mike would never do that to me. He loves me and he cares about me. He'd be honest with me. That just seems like a shitty thing to do. And Mike's not particularly shitty. So just anyway, because just so you know, that's what people are afraid of. Why would Lindsay want to make systems and processes? She's systematizing herself out of her own job. I'll just tell you, so Lindsay's not stressed out. That makes Lindsay, in my opinion, more valuable, not less valuable, but that's the fear. No one's going to want to systematize their job. They're going to want to hoard all the information so you depend on them. You've been the opposite. Not only do you not hoard, you teach everybody your job. And technically, I guess, I just like, get the heck out and we'd be fine. Well, how come you're not afraid?
Yeah, well, I guess that's how I view my position. I view my position as someone that helps not just run the company, but create the systems to run it. So, I don't really have a fear of that because, as good as our VAs are at, they're excellent. They're not exactly the people that would make new systems. I mean, they make systems on their own, but overall, big arching systems, that's what I do, if that makes sense. Am I making sense? I hope that.
What I hear you saying is, I'll tell you what I hear you saying, and if we
Yeah.
agree, then you're making sense. I hear you saying they're great system followers. You not only can follow systems, but you can create systems, and you can also hire people to do those jobs to fill the systems that you just created.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I feel like when you're bringing value to the team you're with, I mean, that's hard to replace. You can find anyone that's just gonna show up at a job with dead shark eyes and can edit videos and, follow the systems you make. But to have someone on your team, and it's just not me patting myself on the back. Don't take it like that, Cleaning Nation. Our whole team
Sure.
We're really lucky to have a whole team like that. I mean, Jackson makes tech systems daily for us. He's not afraid to teach me things. Like, he's not thinking to himself, I hope not, oh, Lindsay could just take my job. It's like, no way, man. Like, we all have our kind of slices, like we were talking about before with VAs. I feel like our whole company does that. We're all sliced. We have a little bit of crossover, but it really comes from the top down.
Yeah. And so just that response that you heard is what you're looking for. So if you have somebody that shows up like, well, I don't want to teach that, or I'm hoarding information, or why would I share with you my secret sauce? Huge red flag. They're not a core values match. That is, the fact that they're saying that is an indicator. That's not the problem, but the type of person that would say that is a huge problem. The fact that Lindsay's like, I never even thought of it that way. I love it here. I do my best to serve the team. And I never really thought about how it may or may not affect me because I'm really into the team. So that kind of response of like, I wasn't really thinking about me. I was thinking about my job and how I could serve the greater good, how I could serve Cleaning Nation. I hadn't really thought about myself. So I just want to make sure, because I know people get afraid and they tolerate that behavior and they think it's normal. It is not normal. The way Lindsay responded with, I never even thought of that. Like, and here's, I'll just, so game theory for the rest of you, like, well, how would that play out with Lindsay? Lindsay, Apple's doing your job for less money. Let's just put her in charge of your job. You're worth way more. What can we have you do that will earn not just the salary you're doing more, but I want to give you a bigger bonus. What do we have to do to have you earn more money? And then literally I would say, go away and think about it. In a week, she'd come back with some great idea. Like, that would be how that would work out. So from the owner's standpoint, he's not like, I'm going to fire this person. Who's more valuable? The person that can follow a system or the person that create a system, hire the person to, how stupid would I have to be to go,
yeah, that's what I'm trying to get
this whole thing off my plate. And now I'm going to be like, haha, I'm going to fire you and save a nickel a month. Holy crap. Maybe there's other, could you do that again? If I kept giving you money, Lindsay, go, yeah, of course I could. Well, of course. Like, then I'll do that. Like, what kind of crazy person, what world are we living in? So
no, that's exactly what I was trying to say before. You just summed it up perfectly.
Well, I just gave it from the owner perspective. I wanted you to from the team, because the reason I wanted you to answer is they're concerned with how the teammate's going to feel.
Yeah.
And no, I wanted them to see a natural response of like, hadn't thought of it that way. Like, and it also has to do with self-confidence, right? Typically, people that aren't competent or good team members know they aren't, so they're more hoardy, right? Lindsay's got a lot of self-confidence. She's like, I'm confident in the value I bring. And guess part, that's a two-way street. She showed up confident, and I don't crap on her and try and be like, oh, if I tell her she's doing a good job, she's gonna want more money. I'm gonna, like, I'm constantly telling her what a great job she's doing, and guess what? She believes it. So she doesn't have any of this insecurity in the relationship because she's like, I bring a lot of value, and I'll tell her to everybody's face. Like, the money that we pay Lindsay is far less than the value she brings to the company. So what does she have to worry about? Nothing, right? We love her. So, all right, let's move on. I knew that people were going to think about, I've got a person, a VA or person that like won't teach anyone. They've got, it's their secret. Like Jared, perfect example. You know, a lot of the false gurus are all like, oh, I don't want to show you my secrets with Facebook or my secrets with whatever. Jared's always like, yeah, of course. I'm happy. I mean, obviously we pay him partly to teach our clients, so he's used to it. But I can't think of a single person that's got weirdness around hoarding information, because quite the opposite. Lindsay's like, when I have good systems, I can go on vacation. People leave me alone. When I have bad systems, I feel guilty. And then when my calls or somebody calls because they need something, I got to pick up the phone. So, all right, back to you, Lindsay. That was just
okay. No, that was a great one. It actually brought up another question in my mind that I just got asked recently by one of our elite members, is how do you, I gotta phrase this. I gotta ask a good question, Mike. I know you like good questions. Let me phrase it right. How do you teach yourself to trust new team members if you're giving away a big task, something that you've done since you started the company, and you're nervous about giving that to a VA? What would you give advice? What would be your advice?
So really, my advice would be to ask Tracy, because she's a genius. But
I will, no, you can't pass it to Tracy on this one.
Well, you asked my advice. I'll still answer the question, but that's not my advice. My advice is to talk to someone smarter than Mike. I'll give more of an encouragement than advice.
Okay.
Having done this quite a bit on my team, and Lindsay's came when I was kind of fully formed, right? Younger in my career, similar to what you guys are. Oh, I can't. They won't do it. Blah, blah, blah. Lindsay got here. I'm like, you'll figure it out. And she's like, what about this? And I'm like, you're bright. I hired a bright chick, right? And she's like, yeah, I'm smart. I'm like, okay, then you do it. You're as smart as I am. Figure it out. And Lindsay went, okay. And guess what? She figured it out. A third of the time, not quite as good as I would have. And I had to give her a little coaching. A third of the time, about where I would have come. And a third of the time, I go, well, crap, that's way better than what I would have done. Like, I'm so smart to hire a smart person and get out of her way. So it really is. So yeah, the third of the time it quote unquote costs money or costs something because she didn't do it, in my opinion, as well, is well outweighed by the fact that a third time she has an idea would have never come up with. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's genius. Forget what I was going to do. You do that. And about a third time she hits it where I'm at. And I don't have to do any of it, which is a delightful piece of of my life. So that said, more often than not, we are making up this bull crap that it's impossible, right? It's a complete emotional, it's a belief problem, not a reality problem. One of our Millionaire Mastermind members, Daisy, this was like 2-3 years ago, I still bust her chops about it. And she's so sweet, she tolerates it. She was convinced that nobody could do the scheduling for her residential thing, because I got 20 different, you know, accounts a day and they all go in different places and no one could possibly understand. Don't you know where traffic is? And this, I'm like, anyway, I gave her a hard time. And shortly after, she hasn't scheduled in years. So it was really a belief, not, it wasn't reality. So first and foremost, realize it's a belief, not the truth, right? And the way we know that is there's other companies that are, there's other multi-million dollar residential and commercial cleaning companies, but owner doesn't have to do anything. So it's certainly possible. It's just fear. Second, and this is going to make it sound so simple, but it really, it's not easy, but it's simple. Hire good core value matches, give them an outcome, not a task, and then leave them alone. So Lindsay, for our team, and the reason I love all of our team, no one would look at Lindsay and be like, well, it's a mini me, right? It's people think core values match, like, oh, they have to be like Mike. Lindsay couldn't be more not like Mike. She's got ovaries, I assume. I'm ovary free. She's confirmed. Shorter. Yeah, she's got a dude for a husband. I've got a beautiful wife, woman. Like, it's just doesn't have kids, lives in, it's just wildly different, has artistic ability. I have none. Like, just no one's going to confuse Lindsay and me. But when I go, I can trust her with all my clients and all of everything because she has fun. She's into making money for herself, for the company, and for our clients. She's super real. Like, anyone that knows Lindsay, they're not going to be like, oh, I saw her on the podcast. She was all fake. Lindsay's Lindsay. I've met Lindsay lots of times and it's exact same Lindsay. Never a difference. And she loves helping out. Like, you were born to be customer happiness manager, by the way. Like, she's always coming up with creative ways to like just do sweet things. And I'm like, I would have never come up with that. So because she's a core values match, I just let her go. She might make something that I would consider a mistake, but she's never going to intentionally or certainly not consistently do something that's not fun, that doesn't help out, that isn't real, and that doesn't make money for the company, the customer, and herself. So it's hard to make it sound. I know people want a more complex answer, but it's a really simple answer. You've got to. So if you don't have a core values match person, if she liked lying, cheating, and stealing, she was not real, she didn't like the fun, or she was not interested in helping out, I constantly have to be like, do this and do it, and trying to like push her into my little lane. And I'd never make it because not who she is, right? Like, she came batteries included. This is who he was. I didn't teach her have fun, make money, be real, help out. She was out in her world doing those things. And when we connected, she's like, oh, this is where I've wanted to work my whole life. And I'm like, this is who I wanted to be my team the whole life. Mm-hmm. So it's really those two things. Well, three, I guess, embedded in the first one is you have to understand and be able to clearly articulate your core values, right? If I just try to explain, we're cool and it's great and we like it here and here's the thing, maybe she get it, maybe she won't, but have fun, make money, be real, help out. Instantly she can go, I resonate with that, or I don't resonate with that. So you have to clearly articulate your core values, hire someone that's a clear fit. I didn't beat her into it. I didn't beg her into it. I didn't bribe her and pay her more. She was already that before she got here. She'll be that after she leaves. And then give a outcome, not a task. So I could bury Lindsay in tasks, and she's so sweet, she'd get to work on my tasks. But again, a third of the time, she thinks of probably more as being generous to myself. She thinks a better idea. So I go, Lindsay, make our customers happy. And we defined what happy was, right? Like, if they stay if they move on to a second program, that indicates they're happy. If they stay in that second program, it indicates they're happy. If they don't do those things, they're not happy. So we agreed on what happiness meant. So it wasn't just her going, I feel like our customers are very happy. And I go, I feel like they're very unhappy. That's not a fair standard. We have a standard we both agree is fair. That's quantifiable, right? It's something you can count. Lindsay and I have never disagreed on how many people did or did not take a certain action. Like, we've always been on the same thing. And I literally said, do whatever you want, like anything you want. Like, you know what that kind of, and the cool thing with the way we do it and customer happiness, because we tied it to them taking actions of signing up for programs or staying, there's money attached to it. So she knows what our prices are and kind of our margins and all that. So she's got a pretty good idea of, Okay, I know what kind of a budget's reasonable. So she didn't have to come to that. Like she knows kind of how much things cost. And she's like, I mean, she'll come to me and go, hey, would it be make sense if I spent this amount? But the amount that she wants to spend always makes sense because she knows what we're doing. So clear on my core values, hire people that were clear on their core values that were a match, clear outcome. Here's what we'd like to see happen. And then let her do whatever the heck she wants to do. And customer happiness, holy heck, I can't think of a more important, like, in my vibe, I'm on the podcast and I'm doing this, blah, 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 blah. So I'd have a good argument. It's got to be me. They only need coaching from me. We do the events. People are like, more Jackson, more Tracy. And I'm like, God bless. I'm happy to sit and relax. I'll get creative.
You got a
All right.
break last time.
Yeah, I like just crying out loud. I have to dance the whole time. It's fantastic. So, all right, man, weird. I've talked way too long.
All
Lindsay,
good.
wrap us up and let's give the kids what they
Yeah.
want.
All right. So, Cleaning Nation, thanks, Mike, for letting me interview, kind of. Cleaning Nation, if you like what you heard, I guess I'm taking us out. Head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk where you can get our free training. And am I missing anything else, Mike?
I think that's it.
All right.
That's it. Lizzie's done a good job. I'm going to relax.
Aw. All right. Thanks so much, Cleaning Nation. And thank you, Mike. We'll see you next time.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. At 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.